From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 15th day of May 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, part of the Elevator System here in Champaign County, Illinois. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast too. Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He'll get give us a look at the next 10 days and what the weather for planting the rest of the crop might look like across the Corn Belt, and a peek at the early season for the summer months. And along the way, we'll check in on the winter wheat crop, the soft red here in Illinois, and hear an update from the Chicago Federal Reserve about farmland cash rents and how they changed year over year from last fall to this spring, and the comparison to the highest prices for cash rent, which you might think are right now, but in real dollars, they are not. And we'll do all of that on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A July corn for the day settled at $4.62.5, down 5 cents. December at $4.87, 4 lower. July soybeans down a penny at $12.13.5. And November down 4 cents at $12.01. They were as high as $12.18.75, by the way, today. Bean meal futures $1.60 lower. The bean oil down, or rather up 15 cents. Wheat futures finished at $6.65.75, down 6.75, had a high of 6.97 in the July soft red. The hard red was a high at 7.06.75. Settlement price there at 6.75, down 8.25 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished at $176.52.5, up 40 cents for the day. Feeder cattle at $255.87.5, 20 higher, and lean hogs a nickel higher for 100 pounds at $100.87.5. Crude oil, $78.64 a barrel, up 62 cents, in gasoline on the wholesale price today at $2.48.6 per gallon, up 3.4. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 276 points higher at this hour at 39,953 for a Wednesday afternoon. Greg Johnson now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the marketplace. He's at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing here in Champaign County, part of the Elevator System. Hi, Greg. Thank you much for being with us today. Let's start with kind of the news in the area. We've had some rainfall, though I was out and about, and it sure looked like farmers had done a pretty good job of getting a lot of the corn and soybean crop planted, but I didn't go very far, and just to the south of me, what are you hearing from the whole of the draw area?
Yeah, we're probably in better shape than most in the state. When the numbers came out on Monday, Illinois was only 42% planted on corn and 39% planted on beans. I think right here in Champaign County and immediate vicinity, we're probably close to two-thirds done on corn and beans. Now, that's behind the last couple of years, obviously, but we still got 15 days left in the month of May and a few days in June before the before we really have to start talking about prevent plan, and hopefully we don't get to that point. But the weather forecast is wet this weekend. There's two or three chances of rain again next week. So planting progress will probably be a repeat of this week and last week. Stop and start, and some people will get some stuff done, but probably not everybody. So those numbers are not going to get to, we're going to be behind normal, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, when the numbers come out on Monday, and probably, if the forecast is right, when the numbers come out on Monday the 27th or Tuesday the 28th. I guess Monday's a holiday that day. So traders are re-evaluating how many acres may get planted to corn, whether we'll see a little bit of a shift to soybeans. Do we need to take that yield down since we're not going to get all the acres planted as early as what we had liked, and probably in less than ideal conditions for some of these last third of the crop to get planted. So traders are ratcheting their ideas higher, maybe another 20, 25 cents higher than what we were thinking, even 2 to 3 weeks ago. So as far as planting progress is concerned, I guess, yeah, we're okay in our area. We'd like to be farther along, but when you look at other areas, I don't think we'd trade ours with too many other areas at this point.
What are the swings in the marketplace, particularly wheat and maybe soybeans today? Why did that happen, in your opinion?
Yeah, wheat has definitely been the leader. Dry weather in Russia has caused that crop to be lowered, and then they had some freezing weather overnight, and that also has lowered the crop size for some of the estimates. So Russia's agency said that they were looking at a 90 million metric ton wheat crop. Now they're down to 85.7. So pretty significant drop, especially when you combine that with maybe a lower wheat crop here out of the west. The wheat tour's going on, and in eastern Kansas they found some pretty good yields, but in western Kansas, that's where it's been dry. That we haven't heard results yet, so we're waiting to hear results there. But the expectation is that we'll see lower wheat estimates out of the far western wheat belt. And so wheat has definitely been the leader. Corn's kind of been tagging along. In addition to the slow planting progress on corn, it's also been riding the coattails of wheat. Wheat has gone up. It was $5.38 just a couple of months ago, went all the way up to almost $7 to $6.98. That's a 30% run-up in wheat in just the last couple of months. And so we're due for a little bit of sell-off, and we're down about 4%. We're down about 25 cents from that high. So we're at some very good prices, but at some point in time, farmers will start rewarding this market. We will start seeing farmers sell, and I think that's kind of what's going on now. The wheat's had just such a good run-up that it's meeting some farmer selling, and that's probably got a little bit of a short-term resistance on the wheat at this point.
Yesterday, CONAB released updated figures for its crop production, corn and soybeans, rice, other things as well. It found more acres and more bushels for both corn and soybeans. A bit surprising, though. That's, and I'll pat the Farm Doc team on the back, kind of what they said would have to happen if they were going to keep their supply and demand tables in shape there.
That's right. And we knew that kind of had to, it didn't have to happen, but we thought that might happen. And they're getting closer every month. The one thing that did come out of that was the Rio Grande do Sul soybeans. There's still some talk that private estimates think that they could have as much as a 5 million metric ton loss. Most of the trade is using 2 million metric tons at this point, anywhere from 1 to 3 million metric ton loss on that last 15% of the crop. But there are some that are saying it could be as much as 5 million metric tons, and that may be a reason for part of the strength as well in the soybeans. So a lot of unknowns, a lot of uncertainty in the soybeans, but all eyes are on South America at this point, as well as China, because China still has not purchased the first bushel of new crop soybeans from the U.S. yet. And so that's a little bit of concerning. Are they going to wait and see how many South America has and then only buy from us as a residual? Or are they just waiting for the price to be more advantageous before they step in and buy U.S. beans? But to date, they've bought zero soybeans from the U.S. for the 24 crop.
Given all these positive or friendly fundamental changes across the planet, does it change the way farmers should think about marketing, particularly their old crop, or should they still be in the process of making sales?
Well, it should, and I got to give credit to the farmers. They are doing a good job of selling both old crop corn and soybeans on this rally. Haven't really translated into new crop sales yet, but farmers are doing a good job of selling old crop corn and beans on this rally. We've rallied over 40 cents a bushel in corn, rallied almost a dollar in beans. So at some point in time, you have to say how much is enough, how much, yes, there is more upside potential, but there's also downside risk if you don't sell. So I think farmers are doing a good job, and I think they should be selling old crop corn and beans on this rally.
And Frayne Olson yesterday told us, get down to your gambling stocks, whatever that might be, I suppose. So I would guess that's where producers are headed at this point. Anything else in the marketplace that you've been paying attention to that we should be aware of?
Well, inflation is still an issue. The numbers came out today. The producer price index was up 0.5%. They were looking for 0.3%. The other day, we had inflation numbers higher than what they were looking for. So that all tells me that we're probably not going to be lowering interest rates anytime soon. The Fed is probably going to keep them the same. I don't think they have to raise them. But by the same token, we were looking for a drop sooner rather than later. And now I think we're looking at unchanged interest rates for the foreseeable future for a couple of months anyway, until we get a better handle that inflation is really coming down, if in fact it is. So these high interest rates are not good for commodities. It makes the dollar stronger. It makes our exports less competitive in the world market, and it just makes it more expensive for farmers to borrow money. So that's another thing to keep an eye on as well.
Thank you much.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Well, the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago has reported on cash rent trends in its district, which includes farms in Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa. The agency in the May Ag letter notes 78% of agricultural land in the 7th district is operated by someone other than the owner. Therefore, it concludes changes in the terms of the rental agreements are a key indicator of agricultural conditions. Cash rental rates for district farm acres increased by 2% from 2023 to 2024. This was the fourth positive yearly change in a row. For 2024, average annual cash rents for farmland were unchanged in Illinois and were up 4% in Indiana, 1% in Iowa, and 6% in Wisconsin. Not enough survey responses were received from bankers in Michigan to report a numerical change for the state. Interestingly, the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago in the Ag letter writes that after being adjusted for inflation, with the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis PCEPI, or Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, 7th District cash rental rates were actually down 1% in 2024 from the previous year. This small annual decrease in real cash rents followed three consecutive annual increases. In real terms, the index of farmland cash rental rates peaked back in 2013, according to the PCEPI calculation, and after decreasing slightly for this year, 2024, the index of real cash rental rates was 34% below its level in 2013. The index, by the way, is pegged to farmland values and cash rent rates beginning in 1981. The winter wheat crop is looking good in Illinois. Soft red winter wheat is grown statewide, and farmers here expect to harvest about 680,000 acres of the small grain. Now, that's down 13% from last year, and USDA, as of the May reports, expects it to yield about 83 bushels to the acre, which is off 4 bushels from the 2023 crop. Still, Jessica Rakowski from the University of Illinois says this year's crop is looking good.
One thing we are noticing that is a little bit different this year is how quickly the crop came out of winter dormancy. So we had some really warm weather in February and March, and that caused the wheat to come out of winter dormancy and start its period of stem elongation sooner in the year. And so everything has been shifted earlier by about 10 days, including heading and in thesis. Now, that may lead us to have earlier harvest, but it all depends on how long the grain filling duration is going to be. So probably it's going to be a little earlier, but it's kind of too early to tell right now.
Rutkowski is a small grains breeder at Illinois. She says the concern at the moment for the wheat crop is, as usual, the rainy weather. It's something she thinks farmers should be aware of and cause them to scout for potential disease issues, but not that they have to do anything yet about this year.
That can cause more diseases, especially fusarium head blight or scab, which is really the major disease of concern for us here in Illinois. And yeah, rainy weather, also warmer weather, at the same time as rain and during anthesis or shortly after anthesis, that can all increase the risk of scab. And so we do see the potential to see scab in a couple of weeks. We may start to see symptoms. It's also possible to have the vomitoxin, also called deoxynivalenol, which is the mycotoxin in the grain. We could see that without actually seeing visual symptoms.
The management practices used to control scab are threefold. The first step is always variety selection. Secondly, a fungicide can be applied at anthesis, says Rutkowski. And lastly, making sure to plant wheat after soybean rather than corn. Because the two are both grasses, the corn can inoculate a field with disease that eventually shows up on the wheat crop. And the timing for all three of the control measures has already passed. That's mostly good news for this year, though, because the crop looks good. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thank you for being with us. It has been rainy and drizzly the past couple of days here, though in our part of the world, farmers have done a pretty good job of getting the crop in. There are other places that are still lagging behind substantially. What can you tell me about the next week and a half in the United States? Primary Corn Belt region as it relates to the ability to get a crop in the ground?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got some very talented folks out there farming our land, and we certainly have some good equipment to use as well. So I think that there's not much question in my mind that we will be able to get the crops all in. When I look at this next 10-day period, though, it is going to be a little bit more challenging. We're going to be at the peak of the active jet stream and the moisture flux in the region. So these will be the more challenging days. Last weekend, we took a nice little break from some of the moisture. I think there's been a spot or two in the Midwest that have even been dry since then. But we are turning the corner, and we are going to see a little bit more precipitation coming out of each one of these little disturbances, and there is quite a series of them. As we move forward into the second week of the outlook, though, there will be some ridge building taking place in the eastern part of the United States. And as that ridge builds in, it will push the jet stream northwestward, so that the lower Midwest and the Delta, maybe a part of the southeastern states, will get a chance to break away from the persistent rainy pattern. But that's probably 10 days from now. The upper Midwest and the northern plains will likely get involved with that wetter bias as that ridge develops and pushes the jet stream up that way. So there will be probably a longer period of potential precipitation in the northern plains and upper Midwest, even Canada's prairies, as this process evolves. But I do think that once the ridge starts to build in, it will retrograde back to the west as time moves along in the last days of May. And as it does so, it should provide a better environment for more sunshine and less rain across the heart of the Midwest. And so we will be able to get back in and get aggressive with the field work, but we are going to have to wait until the end of the stretch of rather crummy weather, to say the least. But we should be able to get back at it. It will become a bit more of a problem in regard to excess moisture and standing water and that kind of thing. We've done a good job up to now, replenishing some of the moisture deficits, but it's been really helpful that when it hasn't been raining, that the moisture has percolated down. We've had enough warmth that we've induced a little bit of evaporation as well. But as we move forward through this 10-day period, the ground's not going to be able to absorb the moisture quite as well. So we will have a little bit longer delays after this period of 10 days of off and on rain, just simply because the moisture can't get out of the fields quite as well as it did before.
Talking about that high, retrograding back to the west, I'm wondering if that's the beginning of a summer high, and if you've thought about what that really might mean going into this year.
You know, I think it is the beginnings. Things have changed a little bit. I think that with all the moisture we've had in these last few weeks and the whittling down of our drier biases across parts of the Midwest and even portions of the plains, we're going to get that phenomenon where we get feedback moisture from the soil when the ridge starts to build up. So as we get into the last part of May and into early June, the ridge will move into a position where it'll be around a little bit more often than not, as is typical for summer. But with all the moisture that's around, not only in the States, but up in Canada's prairies, it's all going to feed back. So the ridge has to be fairly weak. And so that will allow for some additional disturbances to move over the top and through the middle, actually at times, and allow for some additional moisture to occur. It won't be as frequent or as heavy as what we'll see in this next 10 days, but we'll still have instability around. Now, we'll be able to work the fields because the temperatures will be warmer then. But yes, this is the ridge of the summer that will begin to show up and become more quasi-permanent feature that we'll deal with on into June and July. But I don't think it's going to actually dry us down too severely until we get into the heart of summer. So that's kind of good news at this point, I think.
Hard red winter wheat growing regions are in what kind of condition today?
Well, you know, the bulk of the region is still in relatively good shape, but we do have quite a bit of dryness still prevailing in central through southwestern Kansas and into southeast Colorado and down at the Texas Panhandle. And I guess that's a fairly important part of the production region, of course. So there is a need for more significant moisture there. Now, last weekend, we did see scattered showers and thunderstorms. They didn't produce a large volume of moisture, not enough to change the moisture deficits in the soil. But, you know, wheat is a grass and a bit of a weed, and it will respond relatively well to whatever moisture it gets. And so there's probably been some improvement in that area. Now, we're going to see a series of maybe 3 days here where additional showers and thunderstorms will be possible in a part of that region. It looks like western Kansas and southeast Colorado will not do as well as the Texas Panhandle will. So we may still have a dry problem there in those areas of hard red winter wheat country. But I would think that the Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma will do a lot better with moisture. And so they will at least move through this next 10 days with a little bit more moisture. There's not a lot of follow-up precipitation, so it will be an ongoing challenge for some of those crops out there. But of course, prime time is here now. So if we can get a halfway decent drink of water, we might do a fairly good job in improving the crop.
Hey, thank you much.
Have a great day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, where today you'll find the opening market report, the midday report, and the closing market report to listen to on demand anytime you'd like. And tomorrow we'll record Commodity Week, post that by about 6 o'clock in the evening. And each and every day you'll find information from the agricultural economist, the crop scientist, and the animal scientist from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's all at WILLAG.org. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.